I want to read some over in the book of Revelation, and it's in the fourth chapter. I believe I read from the fourth chapter this morning. Reading in the 12th verse of the fourth chapter, it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." It's the 12th verse of the fourth chapter, that is. Thou art worthy, O Lord. You know, when you think about being worthy, there's not anybody worthy in heaven or in earth. But the Bible said, O Lord, thou art worthy. That's a big word, isn't it? O Lord, thou art worthy. I want you to listen for just a few minutes, and we're going to try to talk with you. Thou art worthy, O Lord, thou art worthy. I said this morning, John, as he beheld the one sitting upon the throne, John wept. He wept much because of the words that were spoken to him. And the words was, no man in heaven or in earth was found worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. But then all of a sudden the voice came and said, "Weep not, John, for one hath prevailed to open the book, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he hath prevailed." All right, then the Bible said he was found worthy. And there was no one found worthy in heaven or in earth to loose the seals of that great book of redemption. There was no one that was found worthy. And even though they searched all through heaven and they searched all through the earth, the Bible said there was not anyone that was found worthy to open those books or to loose the seals thereof of those books. But all of a sudden there was a voice from heaven said, "Weep not, John, for one hath prevailed to open the book, even the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he is worthy." And the Bible said that from in heaven, many voices begin to ring out praise to the Lamb of God. And then under the earth, many voices begin to ring out praise to the Lamb of God. And throughout the earth and everywhere, there was voices that begin to ring out praise to the Son of God, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and to receive power and to receive glory and to receive riches. For thou alone, O Lord, hath prevailed to loose the seals and open the book." Thou alone hath prevailed. And all of heaven and all of earth and all beneath the earth begin to say glory and praise and honor unto the Lamb of God, unto the Lord of Lords, and unto the King of Kings. See how the Lord worked it? He let them search through heaven. God intended to have the praise. He intended to have the honor of his people. He intended to put the thing to a test, have a contest over it, and put it to a test so that nobody could say, "I could have opened that book. I could have loosed those seals." The devil didn't have a chance to do that. Nobody had a chance to do that. God made sure of that, because before he ever let the Lamb of God come to open that book, he said, "Look through heaven. Go give everybody a chance. Look through the earth. Give everybody a chance. Look down beneath the earth. Find the devils and the demons and all of them, and see if there's any one of them that can open this book that I've got in my hand." And the Bible said when they searched, nobody could open that book. And so then when the Lamb of God stepped forth to open the book, nobody could rise up and say, "I could have opened that book." For when he opened that book, everything in heaven and in earth and everything beneath the earth knew that nobody could open that book, because he'd already give everybody a chance. And they knew that Christ Jesus alone had prevailed to open that book. So just as quick as that book was open, they said glory and honor and praise and glory, majesty, power, riches, honor, all be to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And 10,000 times, 10,000 begin to say, "Glory to God, hallelujah, amen." I imagine 10,000 times, 10,000 of angels begin to play on their harps, and the glory of God begin to fill the air, and the music begin to sweep out over heaven as everybody begin to sing, "Glory to the Lamb of God." The book had been opened. One had been found worthy to open the book and to loose the seals. I made the statement this morning. I said that book was not an ordinary book. That book was the book of redemption. That book was the title deeds to this world and all of its wealth. It was the title deed to all lives of humanity. It was the title deed to everything that Adam and Eve had taken away from them because of the fall. And so then that great book was opened. One had prevailed. One was found worthy. And all of a sudden, as I said this morning, all of humanity suddenly had a chance for salvation. All of a sudden, humanity, all of the angels of heaven, everything had opportunity to continue to exist. But without that book, even the angels in heaven could not have continued to exist. Everybody was waiting for that great book to be opened, for somebody to loose the seals of that book. And so then the Bible said, "Weep not, John, for there is one that had prevailed to open the book, even the Lion of the tribe of Judah." And they said, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, thou art worthy." I'm glad today that I can stand here and reading the scriptures and talking to you and say that one was found worthy. I'm glad that I can preach this sermon as I did the other night, Friday night, and stand up before you and tell you that he that is born of God cannot sin, because there was a Calvary and because there was a sacrifice for the sins of humanity. I'm glad that I can stand up and say that when the book was opened, that it proved my testimony to be authentic in the sight of God. The Bible said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony. I have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. I've overcome by that book that I spoke of this morning that was open at Calvary. I've overcome by the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've overcome by believing in the blood of the Lamb and in testifying to a finished work, that work which he finished for me at Calvary. Jesus did not have to come to earth to do anything to prove his righteousness. He did not have to come to earth to obtain the great power and kingdom that he was to have. Because before the world ever was, he had that glory. He said, "Restore unto me, God, the glory that I had with thee before the world ever was." So then he did not have to come down here to do that. But he had to come to earth that I might obtain unto that glory. And he had to come to earth that I might escape death. And that I might have eternal life. And that I might be found worthy, for he was already worthy. He only came to earth to prove to humanity that he was worthy, that he might receive the praise and honor of mankind. So then, I am today found worthy in the sight of God. The Bible teaches us to pray always that we may be accounted worthy to escape the things that's coming on this earth. I can't say that I am worthy to serve God, nor worthy to have eternal life as a human being. I cannot do that. But I can say, because of the shed blood, I am worthy today. Because of the blood of the Lamb of God, I am worthy to have eternal life. Because of the spilt blood of Jesus Christ, I am worthy to live eternally. I am worthy to have glory and power and honor. I am worthy to do it because of the spilt blood of the Lamb of God. And so then, because I am worthy, then I intend to take my benefits in God. Because I am worthy, I don't intend to relinquish and draw back and let the devil talk me out of it. I intend to go boldly before the throne of grace that I might receive help in the time of need. I'm going to go boldly before God, and I'm going to receive the blessings of God, and I'm going to claim that which is mine, because I believe it is a reproach to God for me not to do it. I believe that it is displeasing to God when we will not count ourselves worthy in the blood of the Lamb and go take that which we have right to. By the blood of the Lamb, I can walk up to the throne and I can take the book out of the hands of him that sit upon the throne. By the blood of the Lamb, I can say I am worthy. By the blood of the Lamb, I can claim the promises of healing. I can claim the power of God in my life. I can claim the powers of discernment. I can claim the gifts of the Spirit. By the worthiness of God, by the spilt blood of Jesus, I can claim the great things of the Almighty God. I can be in the sight of God tonight as Jesus Christ himself, a lamb without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish or any such thing. How can I do it? I can do it by the blood of the Lamb. I have done it by the blood of the Lamb. For numbers of years, I've enjoyed the precious presence of God. For numbers of years, I've enjoyed the victories of Christian living. And I've had the devil to say so many things to me in the past. I've had him to tell me all kinds of things, to lie against me, to try to tear me down, to try to discourage me, to tear down my morale. But I don't believe a word that he's got to say. You know why that I don't listen to him? Because I spent many years searching and seeking out the Word of God. I kept going through the Bible and praying and searching and fasting and seeking until I learned that I was worthy through the blood of the Lamb. Until I learned that everything that he said to me was a lie if it was contrary to the Word of God. And did you know that you're never going to have the victory that you need in God until you understand the Word of God? Until you hear the Word of God and understand the Word of God, you're never going to be a great Victorian in God. I remind you again, the victory that overcometh the world, it is your faith in God. And your faith in God means faith in the Word. And what does the Word tell you? The Word points out that you are worthy through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We've got to come to the place as a church to believe that we are worthy through the shed blood of Christ. If we do not come to the place to accept the shed blood of Christ, then we will never stand as a great Christian or a great person of victory in this day that we're living in. There's a heavy load upon the church today. There's a great crisis in the world today. There is something that's taking place in the world today that's about to crush humanity. Satan is seeking to trample down the minds of humanity. And he's trying his very best to press the life out of humanity. He's trying to cause them to grow discouraged to where that they'll get to the place to where they do not believe that anybody is holy anymore. Did you know that we've come to a day to where people will stand in your face and they'll say, well, I don't live right and I don't believe you live right either. And you'll say, well, there's somebody that's holy in this world. They'll say, I don't believe anybody's living right anymore. That's the day that we've come to. But I want you to know that there are people today that's holy in the earth. There are people today that's righteous in the earth. Whether you believe there's anybody righteous in the earth or not, they're still righteous. Whether you believe anybody's holy in the earth today or not, they're still holy. The Bible said, be holy for I am holy. Amen. Be therefore perfect as thy Father in heaven is perfect. And so then there are some perfect men in the earth today. There are some holy men in the earth today. There are some worthy men in the earth today. There are men in the earth today that are worthy. How are they worthy? They are worthy by the blood of Jesus Christ. How can you be worthy, Brother Pike? The Bible said no man in heaven and earth was found worthy. But the Bible said, O Lamb of God, thou art worthy. And today I am the body of Jesus. I am bone of his bone. I am flesh of his flesh. As he is in the mind of God, so am I in the mind of God. If he is worthy, then I'm worthy. Because I'm his members and I'm his body. How can the church be without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish? How is it that God can come back after a church or a bride without spot, without wrinkle, or without blemish? How is it that God can come down in a sinful world and in a sinful, adulterous age and pick up a lady that's elect and precious? How can God do it? Because there is a lady in the earth that is a real lady. In the midst of the adulterers and fornicators, there is a church that is pure and that is holy and without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. There is someone that is worthy, not worthy of their own ability, not worthy of the powers of their own ingenuity, but worthy by the blood of Jesus Christ. Revelation 19. The Bible said, and he returned upon a white horse. Amen. And when he returned, the Bible said that they looked and they beheld, and his vesture was dipped in blood. Why was the vesture dipped in blood? To show that I am worthy. Amen. To let you know that I am worthy. I am the vesture of God tonight, and I'm dipped in his blood tonight. You're the vesture of God tonight, and you're dipped in his blood. And you're white and pure and holy in the blood of the Lamb. The vesture was dipped in blood. The martyrs through the dark age, they dipped their vesture in blood. All down through the years, the blood of the church, the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs was spilt. And so then the vesture that the Holy Spirit wears tonight is dipped in the blood of the Lamb. Just as the lamb led to the slaughter, they open not their mouth, but they're carried to the slaughter. Freely they surrender their lives. Like the song that says, Almighty God, when I consider how great thou art, Almighty God, then I surrender my heart. So then there is a church that is worthy. And the voice said, Weep not, John, for there is one that hath prevailed. One that is worthy. One that can open the book. One that can claim the inheritance that was lost. One that can restore to Adam's race all that was taken away from him. Weep not, John, because there is one that hath prevailed. John, I'm sure, took courage. And I'm sure that the angels began to rejoice. I'm sure that all of heaven lit up because there was one that was found worthy. Did you know tonight the church is considered to be the salt of the earth? Did you know that the very hour that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, that God burned it and rained fire and brimstone upon it because Lot was the salt of that city? Amen. And so then, when we are taken out, the meat spoils because we are the powers of preservation. How do you know that sugar corrupts? You know, in the Old Testament, they wouldn't let them use sugar on any of the sacrifices. Isn't that right? Because it had a tendency to corrupt. Notice a lot of people are dying with sugar today, rottening. But they had to use salt. See, salt was a preservation, a power of preservation. It would preserve. And that's the way the church is. We might not sound so sweet, but I'll tell you one thing, we're the salt of the earth and we're the powers of preservation. You might go down to another church, you might go down to another place, you might go down to the frolics of the world, and they might be sweet to you, but I'll tell you what, your bellies will rot. The Bible teaches that your labor's for your belly, and if you go after the world and you go to the sweetness of the world, that which seems to be sweet to you will be bitter in the end. But if you'll follow the church, it might not look so sweet. It might not sound so sweet, but I'll tell you what, if you could ever taste of it, it'd be sweeter than honey. It's the power of preservation. It's that great power that God has put in the earth to keep everything from ruining down here. So then, one was found worthy. Who is that one? The church. Only the church. Out of all of mass humanity, out of the great millions of people, out of the heathen scattered across the world, there's a voice that comes ringing down from the world of glory. And that voice repeatedly says over and over, Fear not, for thou art worthy, O Lamb of God. Fear not, for thou art counted worthy to escape the things that's coming on this world. And so then, we find that there's but one in the earth that is worthy. That is the Lamb of God. That is the Son of God. That is the church. That is the body. That is the members of his great body. Pray always that you may be accounted worthy. Not that we can be worthy. Not that I can make myself worthy. But pray and seek God and ask God for his leadership. That we may be accounted worthy. Accounted worthy by God. Accounted worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Accounted worthy by the grace that is given to us through the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen. So then, I am worthy through him. I am counted worthy. No man in heaven and earth was found worthy, but I am worthy. I stand worthy by his blood. I stand worthy by his spirit. I stand worthy today that if I need healing for my body, that all I've got to do is go boldly before the throne of grace in the time of need and say, Lord, I am worthy by the blood of your son, and I want my healing. All I've got to do is ask and believe. The Bible said this is our confidence in him, that whatever we ask of him we receive because we believe in his word, because we do the things that please him, because our conscience is clear. Paul said, I strive always to keep my conscience void of offense toward man and God. Always I keep my conscience clear of offense. Why? So that when I go to pray, I won't have my prayers hindered. Paul tells us as man and wife that we should walk softly together, live holy together, that we should not fuss and feud with each other, that our prayers be not hindered. He tells us that we should not dabble in the things of the world and become worldly and get carnal minded. Why? Because he doesn't want our prayers hindered. And we got to pray always that we might be accounted worthy to escape the things that's coming on the earth. And so then, I am counted worthy tonight. Whatever I want in God, I am counted worthy. I stand tonight, you say, Brother Pike, you're just a sinner like I am. I beg your pardon. I pass from death unto life. And if I pass from death unto life, that means I am not a sinner. You say, what do you mean by that? Because the Bible said that sin bringeth death. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. If I was a sinner, then I would have to die. But I'm not a sinner. Therefore, I do not have to die. So then I am not a sinner tonight. I am a saint of God tonight. I am holy tonight. By the blood of the Lamb, I'm worthy tonight. Hallelujah. So then I do not stand as a sinner. People say, God, have mercy on me. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That's all right. To say I was a sinner saved by grace. But not just a sinner saved by grace. Because the Bible teaches that he that is born of God, he cannot sin. So then I cannot stand and say I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Because I am not a sinner saved by grace. I am a son of God. I was a sinner and I have been saved by grace. Hallelujah. Tonight, I don't have to worry about dying. Why is it that I do not have to worry about dying? Because I am not a sinner. For the sting of death is sin. And there is no sin in my life. Somebody say, Brother Pike, you're mighty bold to stand there and talk like that. I sure am, and bold as a lion. That's what the Bible told me to do. Be bold as a lion. Mighty bold. It takes a great boldness. The boldness of a lion. To stand and make the testimony of Christ from these feeble lips of clay, knowing that the world is contrary to it, knowing that all of your infatuations and feelings are contrary to it, knowing that all of your thoughts are contrary to it, it takes the boldness of God, it takes the boldness of a lion. What kind of lion? The one that was found worthy. Thou art worthy, O lion of the tribe of Judah. Thou art worthy to stand and boast in the Lord. And Paul said, if I boast, I will boast in the Lord. So then, I am not a sinner saved by grace. I do not have to worry. I do not have to fret and say, Lord, I'm afraid that I'm going to sin against you. You know, David said, thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart that I should not sin against thee. And I said the other night in the sermon, for many years, I had a great fear. And that fear was that I might sin against the Son of God. That fear was that I might sin in my heart against the Holy Spirit. I had a great fear of that. And it tormented me. And it tortured me. And I would pray and I would fast. And I would plead with God. But it didn't make it any better. It didn't do any differently. I said, my God, isn't there an answer to this thing anywhere? I said, Lord Jesus, isn't there any relief? Isn't there any peace? Isn't there any outlet? Isn't there any exit from this thing? God, is there any way of escape? I said, you said that you would make a way of escape. You'd not suffer me to be tempted above that that I was able, but would with the temptation make a way of escape that I might be able to bear it. And I'd say, Lord, where is my way of escape? And I'd always hear him answer back, I am the way. I am the way. I said, I know you're the way, but I don't understand, God. I'm still having problems. I'm still tormented. I'm still plagued. I don't understand. I don't want to sin against you. I said, I'm praying. I'm fasting. I'm studying. I'm trying to serve you. I've given up everything to keep from sinning against you. I said, but God, in spite of all of that, I'm still sinning against you. I said, I can feel it in my very body that's contrary. And that's how God brought me into the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh my, if I'd have never searched, if I'd have never been in that condition, I'd have never looked. And then I begin to understand what Paul was saying. I believe that's what brought Paul into the revelation of Jesus. When Paul realized that he had stood by while people were stoned to death. When Paul said I was a blasphemer, a murderer. When he realized all of them things and he realized he was guilty of them and he didn't know how to get away. And the consolation of the word wasn't there when somebody preached to him. He began to search. God brought him to that place to where he would search like no other man had ever searched to fathom the depths of the great God of heaven. And I begin to search. And I begin to search. And I come up with the same testimony Brother Paul did. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love Paul. How I understand Paul. I could never understand Paul's writings. I could never understand Paul's teachings. But you know why? I had never been in the places Paul had been in. But I tell you what, when I got out in the deep despair, and I begin to pray and the answers begin to come to me, I begin to understand Brother Paul. I begin to understand what he was talking about. And I could hear him as I would search, as I would do my best. And I could hear Paul. I could hear him scream at me with those words, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And I say, "My God, that's the answer. My God, that's the answer. Oh, wretched man that I am, though I fast and pray, I'm a wretched man. Though I, in my heart, I have a desire to do good," Paul said, "and I struggle to perform that which is in my heart. But to be able to perform it," he said, "I can't find it anywhere. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I said, "God, it's so tormented. It's so tormenting. Oh, God, I try to be holy. I try to be clean. I try to be pure, but I feel so dirty and so wretched. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body? Who shall deliver me from the death working in this body?" And I began to search and I began to look. Then I realized that within my body dwells no good thing. Paul said, "I've come up with one thing. After all of my searching, there is nothing that I can do. Though I must pray, though I must fast, though I must do my all, it is required of me to do my all, to give my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. I realize that there is nothing good about me. There is nothing that I can do. If I eat, I'm no better to God." He said, "If I don't eat, I'm no better to God. I am dependent upon one thing, that is the spilt blood of the Lamb of God." That's why I came up with the revelation. And he said, "It's not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God." He said to the Jews, he said, "Let me tell you something. I would have been just like one of you. I would have walked just like one of you. I would have thought just like the rest of them that I had to do something to obtain unto this grace. But I've learned that in all I do, there's still something on the inside of me that tells me that I'm not fit, that I must turn to another source. So then," Paul said, "I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." And he said, "I can't find a way to escape, for I have a will to perform that which is good. But I find another law in the members of my body, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and the law of death." But then he waxed bold. As he began to understand, as he searched for the way of escape. And finally it dawned on him. And Paul said, "My God, after all my praying, after all of my studying, after all of my searching, I couldn't find it. But suddenly it's dawned on me. God has revealed to me." He said, "It's a revelation. It's got to be a revelation. God's got to give it. There ain't nothing you can do to obtain unto it. It's a high, it's abundantly and above all that I could ever think," Paul said. "It has to be the revelation of God." And all of a sudden it was revealed to Paul. Paul said, "I am free. I am free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, he condemned sin in the flesh by nailing a holy, spotless lamb that was led willingly to the slaughter, nailing it to Calvary, taking sin out of the way. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And he said, "God, listen now. Lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me, oh God, to do thy will." For first he said to them, as the Holy Spirit spoke and it came ringing out of the past, coming from the prophetical utterance into Paul's ears, he got to Revelation and he heard that great voice that spoke to the prophets back there, came ringing down to the centers, and it said, "Offerings and sacrifices thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me, O God. For lo, as it is written of me, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will. Oh God, offerings and sacrifices thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me for me. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? God prepared a body. Offerings and sacrifices couldn't do it. The spilt blood of lambs and goats couldn't do it. But a body thou hast prepared me, O God. And so then, Jesus said, I don't bring to you a lamb as they did in the days of Moses. I don't bring you something as they did in the days of Adam or Cain or Abel. I don't bring you that kind of thing. But he said, offerings and sacrifices thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. I bring to you a human body. I bring to you that which is guilty. A human body sinned against you and was turned out of the presence of God. I bring to you a body here without spot, without wrinkle. I bring to you a body thou hast prepared for me. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? A body thou hast prepared me, Jesus said. And I take this body and I freely nail it to the cross. I hang it there. And then, oh Father, smite it. Smite it with your most fierce anger until thou art satisfied against the sinful flesh of mankind. The Bible said we esteem that body smitten of God. God became so angry as that precious lamb-like darling body took the crushing blows of the Almighty God. There as it hang upon Calvary, and there he yielded up his spirit to God without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. A body thou hast prepared me, and there hang the body of the Lord, the Lamb of God, hanging at Calvary. And there's that body hung there, the heavens turned dark, and the rocks was rent in two, and the veil was rent, and God smote the body. As I said this morning, he smote it. He that knew no sin was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Therefore reckon your bodies to be dead unto sin by the body of Jesus, and your spirit and your inner man alive unto God. For there is a continual warfare between the body and between the spirit. So then we don't have to worry about the body. For the body is dead. Job said, yea, though the skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Not another, but I shall see him for myself. I shall see him, Paul said, as he is. So then a body thou hast prepared me. Why a body? There was none found worthy in heaven and earth. But then the voice said, thou art worthy, O Lamb of God. Thou art worthy to receive honor, to receive riches. For thou hast delivered me from sin and death. My body that was under the curse from the fall of Adam. My body that caused me trouble. My body that proved to be a prison for my soul and for my inner man. My body that formed bars of bone. My body that has held my inner man in prison. My flesh through which Satan has worked. My passions, my desires, my natural human desire of this body that is warred against my soul. God has taken it away. All of the senses, the human senses, the human appetites, the infatuations of the flesh, God has taken them away. He has moved them far from me, as far as the east is from the west, as far as the heavens is from the earth. For a body thou hast prepared me. That was my body that God smote at Calvary. That was my body as he turned his wrath loose upon my body. My body was bruised. My body was bruised. That was my body. Esteem yourselves or reckon yourselves to be dead by the body of Jesus. Reckon yourself to be the body of the Lord Jesus hanging at Calvary. And God smote your evil image. And as we have borne the earthly image of the evil one, so shall we bear the heavenly image. For we have another tabernacle, even the body of Christ. It's eternal and made in the heavens. Hallelujah. I am not in the earth. I have passed from death unto life. I do not have the bodily tabernacle. I have passed from the bodily tabernacle. I am hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received unto the restoring of all things. I know that you see the bodily tabernacle. I know that you see that part which the skin worms can devour. I know that having eyes, you see not the tabernacle in heaven. having ears, you hear not the voice of him that speaketh from heaven. But let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let him that hath eyes to see, see always the things that the heavenly Father does. For thou art worthy, O Lamb of God. Thou art worthy. As he is, so are we in him. As he is, so are we in him, and we are complete in him, for he is found worthy. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I want you to stand with me. If you can get a hold of these things that we're trying to tell you, if you can understand, you can grow taller than trees. You can grow mightier than Goliath. But you have to understand. Solomon said, Lord, give me a heart of understanding. I do not pray for treasures, and I do not pray for riches. But I pray, O God, for a heart of understanding. Grant unto me that I may understand. And the Bible said it pleased God. And God gave unto him great wisdom, and God gave unto him great riches. Solomon said, I do not pray for long life, but make me to understand, O God. Can you understand? With wisdom, Solomon said, get understanding. Have you asked God for understanding? Have you asked God for understanding? Blessed is the man that standeth at the gate, the doorway of wisdom. Blessed is the man that will stand and call wisdom their kinsman. Do you understand? The Bible said the wicked shall not understand, but the righteous shall understand. For it shall come to pass in the evening time, there shall be light. As the song said, there shall be light in the evening time. The path to glory we'll surely find. There is a great light, though gross darkness is covering the people. The Bible said to them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death, great darkness was upon them, but great light sprang up to them that sat in the regions in the shadow of death. We have been sitting in the shadow of death, beloved friend. But we are free from death. For yea, though I walk through the valley of this death, I'll not fear the evils of it. For Christ is with me. Though I sit in the valley of the shadow of death, I have come out of the shadows. For a great light is now shining. And John said, this life and this light that we've seen with our eyes, we've handled with our hands. This great, wonderful light of God. For there shall be light in the evening time. There shall be light. Gross darkness shall cover the people. But there shall be light. Isn't that something? To the world it's gross darkness. But God said, turn my people away from that darkness, Paul. They're not children of darkness, but children of light. There shall be gross darkness over the world. Their intellectual reasoning in the prisons of evil, frustration and fears and sicknesses, sorrows and heartaches and miseries. But over the saints of God and in the saints of God there shall be light in the evening time. For they are the light of the evening time. It's really something. The people of the world have walked in light, natural light. Now it's turning into darkness. We have walked, God veiling himself in darkness, we have walked in the darkness, not being able to enjoy this natural light. Because we have walked in the darkness and we've had to withdraw from all of the intellectual reasoning and the things of the world. Just being poor, unlearned folks. But now, our light, our darkness is turning into light. And their light is turning into darkness. What understanding that they had is turning into darkness. But the understanding that seemed to be so deep and dark that we could not understand is turning into great light. For there shall be light in the evening time. You love Jesus? I'm so glad that I'm a Christian. I wonder if we can sing a little chorus together. I know it's hot out there. It's hot up here when you preach. Get excited. It's really hot. It's like a man having to work for a living. Earning his living by the sweat of his brow. Let's sing a little chorus together. Can we sing the song we sing so often, call, pass me not, can we? Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, and while lone others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Sing it with me, will you? Oh, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry, and while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Tonight, just before I let you go, I want to pray for anyone if they're sick. It come to me today to pray for the sick tonight, and I'd forgotten it and was letting it pass on by and was fixing to let you go, and I was reminded. So I know there must be somebody here that has a need and God is wanting to meet it, or he wouldn't mention it to me tonight. If you love the Lord, as they come tonight to be prayed for, I want you to believe with me. I want you to believe with me, because I want to help you, and I want to help these that are sick. I want to help them. A lot of people in the world today that need a helping hand. A lot of people. And I try my very best in praying for the sick. I try to be honest and sincere from the bottom of my heart, because I know that sickness is nothing to play with. I know that a person can have a cancer and they can die while you're playing church, while you get excited and jump around and make them think something has happened when it hasn't happened. That person can die. It may be strange to you, I don't know, but I'm so conscientious about praying for people and being truthful with people. Until for a number of years, I prayed after this manner. Lord God of heaven, don't let one prayer request go unanswered that has been turned in to me in the past. And dear God, remember out in the future, through all of my lifetime, before the prayer requests are ever turned in, Lord, remember every prayer request that shall ever be turned in to me during all of my lifetime. I pray for them now before they shall ever be turned in to me, O God. I pray for those requests that when they are turned into me, that I be sure that I never forget one of them. And I say, Lord, whosoever, as long as I'm in this earth, whosoever ever ask a request of me, or that's ever going to turn in a request to me, I pray for them in Jesus' name. And I say, God, I pray for humanity throughout the world, all living humanity, every person in the earth, boy, woman, girl, king, queen, leader, president, in the wherever they're at in the world, I say, Lord, I pray for them. And I say, dear God, everyone that's to be born into the world, that has never yet come into the world before they were born into this world, Father, I tell in the future the multitudes of many hundreds of thousands that are yet to be born in the world, I say, I pray for them, Lord, that when they come into this world, you'll have mercy upon them. And God, that you'll help them. God, that you'll answer my prayer. Lord, that you'll do something for them. Because God, I want to be sure that I offer prayer for all men as you've commanded me to do. That's the way I pray. And I pray for you. I pray for you. I pray, Lord, though I've never met a man, though I've never met a woman, If I ever come to meet any, let it be known to thee, O God, that I've already prayed for them, because I pray for everyone I shall meet in my lifetime. Everyone I shall ever come to know in my lifetime, I pray for them, God. I pray for their body, their sick bodies. I pray for their soul. I pray for their freedom. I pray for their help. Before I ever come to meet them, that when I come to meet them, I can truthfully say, I've prayed for you. And I have prayed for you. So then I say again, many of you I've prayed for. I pray for you, especially you that are here at Little Bethlehem. I pray for you, and I ask God to heal you, because I want God to heal you. I want God to do something for you. I want God to help you. And when I pray for you here, I pray sincerely. I pray very sincerely for you. I'm going to pray for these people, and as I pray for them, I want you to believe with me, because I believe that God will help you. I believe that God will heal you. I don't make praying for the sick a routine. I don't do that. I enjoy praying for the sick. I prayed for the sick when I was so weary I couldn't hardly go, and seeing the Lord bless them. But I don't make it a routine to pray for the sick, because I don't want to get into a routine of praying for the sick. I want to be conscientious when I pray for the sick, because I know that they need deliverance, and I know that they need healing. Hallelujah. Father, Lord of heaven, as I pray for Sister Cook tonight, I lay my hands upon her. And dear God, I'm thankful for your holy presence. Hallelujah, as I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Oh, hallelujah, I feel your lovely presence. Heal, Jesus. Dear God, because of the spilt blood of Calvary. Heal because of the stripes, God, that cut into the flesh of your back. Lord, when the stripes was laid upon your back to heal Sister Cook, heal her. I come boldly before the throne of grace, commanding the spotty to be healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for this little sister. I pray for the healing of this body. Dear God, because you rent the veil at Calvary. And Father, today, every promise in the book belongs to us. Hallelujah, we rejoice in it. We claim it, we believe it. In Jesus' name, Father. Father, heal the sister tonight. May the power of the living God come down upon her. Heal her and make her well. Oh God, touch the little children in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Father, touch Mac tonight. Touch his body and heal his body, oh God. Deliver him, oh God, from sickness. Dear God, from fears. Touch this little girl in Jesus' lovely name. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for this little lad tonight. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I speak healing to his body. May the blessings of the Lord be with him. Hallelujah. Fathers, I pray for this little baby tonight. I pray that thy healing would be with this baby. Father, hear from heaven and heal. Heal for Christ's sake. Father, touch my brother. Stretch forth a healing hand and heal, Father. Heal for Christ's sake. In Jesus' name, I feel you doing it. Father, as I pray for this little lad tonight in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would heal tonight. Heal, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Father, touch my brother tonight in the name of Jesus. Fathers, they come here for healing and deliverance. I pray that they will be healed and delivered as I feel the Holy Spirit. Touch these little children in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight. Father, touch Bob tonight. I pray that you would heal his body tonight. Dear God, bring him deliverance tonight. Heal in the name of Jesus, I pray thee, O God. Fathers, I pray for Gary tonight. I ask you to heal his body tonight. Deliver him tonight. Oh God, prosper and bless Gary. Help him to walk in the light of Christ Jesus. I ask you to bless him for your name's sake tonight, Heavenly Father. Fathers, I pray for my sister tonight. I pray that you would heal in the name of Jesus. May thy great spirit heal tonight in Jesus' name. Father, touch these sisters tonight, and may the great power of God come into their lives. Heal tonight. Oh God, heal tonight. As I feel your anointing tonight, I ask you in the name of Jesus to heal. Father, heal the sister and break the yoke from off of her in Jesus' name. Touch these little girls in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. May thy spirit come down, O Holy Father, and heal tonight. God, heal Jerry tonight in the name of Jesus. Move the evil out, O God, in the name of Jesus, and help him to serve thee with all of his heart. Dear God, heal Tommy tonight. God, deliver him from the fierce temple, Lord, that would take hold of him, oh God, and help him to be free from the evils of this world. Help him to take hold of eternal life in Jesus' precious name. Father, touch Brother Joe tonight. Heal Joe in the name of Jesus tonight. Save him and deliver him, dear God, from the double-mindedness that would try to enter into his life and into his heart. Father, touch these little children in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, touch Ray tonight. God, deliver him from that unclean spirit of evil. And oh God, help him to realize that serving God is the only way. Help him to shake the evil and uncleanliness loose. God, to come up into the presence of God. Satan, I adjure thee by God to take your hands off of Ray. I claim Ray in the name of Jesus. For Christ's sake, I plead the blood of Calvary in Jesus' wonderful name. Father, touch Paul tonight. The name of Jesus, deliver him, Lord, from evil. And dear God, from the evil powers that would bind him, oh God, in deception and cause him to look in the direction, dear God, that would take away his joy and cause him to get into a bondage of this world, dear God, for the feebleness of flesh and bones. I ask in Jesus' name for your blessings and for your healing. Father, touch Bill tonight. Help him, dear God, not to reason. Father, help him not to fall into the snare of the carnal mind and reason through life and lose all the joys of Christian living and of the eternal blessings of the Almighty God. Heal and deliver in Jesus' name tonight. Father, touch Bill tonight. God, deliver him from every power of double-mindedness and evil. Oh God, and resentment, surmising. Father, that he might be clean, that he might be holy, that he might be righteous. Endow him with the powers and the deliverance of God in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Father, touch these little children as I lay hands on them tonight. Touch him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Touch my sister tonight. In the name of Jesus, Father, and heal this body. Forgive sin. Every way, O God, I pray thee that you would deliver. Father, deliver this woman from hypocrisy, O God. Help her to be clean and help her to be holy. Help her to look unto thee with all of her heart, Jesus, that she might have a blessing in Christ. I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, touch these little children in the name of Jesus, I pray thee. Lord, as I lay my hands upon them. Father, touch Sherry tonight and deliver Sherry from evil. Help her, dear God, in Jesus' precious name. Father, touch my sister. Help her, Lord, from being carnal. Deliver from being carnal. Help her, God, to be spiritual, to realize that being carnal, Lord, is to die. But that she might be spiritual, for to be spiritual-minded is life and peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, deliver Jimmy tonight. Help him in the name of Jesus, dear wonderful God, to overcome, to believe, dear wonderful God. Lord, the aggravating spirit that comes and talks to his mind, Lord, that wants to accuse, I pray that you'd help him to overcome it and turn from it, God, that he might be delivered from every evil and every affliction. I adjure thee, Satan, in the name of Jesus, that you leave this brother alone. Fathers, I lay hands on these little children. I pray that you'd bless them in Jesus' name. Father, help Tilden to get rid of his fierce temper, Father. And oh God, help him to realize that the love of the world will lead him to death, Lord, and to sorrow and to heartaches. Bring a deliverance in his life and heal. Help his wife to see, oh God, Lord, that they must walk together as one for God to be able to bless their home. I ask it in Jesus' name. Touch these little ones in the name of Jesus as I lay hands upon them, Father. Touch Mac, oh God, and help Mac. Dear God, help him not to be so ill-tempered. Dear God, deliver him, oh God, from those things, Lord, that would work in secret in his heart to keep him from the kingdom of God and the fullness of God. Heal and forgive and deliver in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you step right up here, brethren? Father, I pray for Jerry. I pray that that evil, troubling spirit, God, that talks to Jerry, dear God, that he'll resist it in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, that the yoke would be broken, and dear God, that he would raise up like a real man and take faith in God and walk on in the sureness and in the spirit of the living God, that he might be filled with the Spirit. Help him and his wife to understand, oh God, Lord, it's going to take prayer. It's going to take seeking God. It's going to take fasting. It's going to take praying and asking for help to ever live an overcoming life. Heal and forgive and deliver. I pray in the name of Jesus. Father, help Benny, deliver him from all uncleanliness, oh God. Help him to walk upright, dear God. And help him to know that your eyes are throughout the earth beholding the good and the evil. And God, that you see every thought and intent of our heart. And dear God, that we're going to have to walk in the right paths to ever have the fellowship we want with God. Heal and forgive and bless and strengthen in Jesus' name. Touch this little lad in the name of Jesus, Father.